The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean Stacking the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what do you think of the NBA so far? Sixers off to a 1-0 start, even without knee fluid-filled Andrew Bynum?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched too much so far. I had a little bit on the Mavericks last night. Kind of talked about it in the NBA preview. Just thought, you're going to be able to fade the Lakers a lot early. They're going to get a lot of respect, and you know, they might not be as good as they will be later in the season, early in the season. So,
yeah, no, that was something we highlighted, especially towards the end of the podcast, talking about how fade the Lakers early. I don't know now, but then there's probably going to be a point where people are, you know, the media, especially if they lose a couple of these early ones, where there'll be so much speculation of like, oh my God, the Lakers are garbage, where the line will adjust. But game, 8.5 felt pretty good.
I'm sure it's going to adjust. And also, I didn't have time. I was working too hard today to tweet out that Utah was catching someone. Dallas went there on a back-to-back today.
Oh, no. That's what we talked about, the high elements.
Yeah, just take Utah in those games right now. As we sit here, the Jazz are up 95-82. Also, the Lakers on a back-to-back in Portland where they never play well. They were, I think, laying three. They're down 25-24 right now.
Oh, interesting. Trouble for the Lake Show early. All right, Ryan, this, of course, is the Week 9 NFL Picks Podcast. Started off by a recap in the Week 8 action. Starting off Thursday night, we felt good about this Minnesota team at home, but Tampa Bay Bucks and Shiano came into town, ran the ball hard, and put a whooping on Minnesota 36-17. The Bucks were 6.5-point dogs and won outright. What happened here?
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I was shocked. I was shocked that I knew, I guess I was a little concerned that they might shut down the run and give him some trouble, but I didn't see Minnesota's defense looking so poor.
Minnesota's defense looks so poor, and yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if it would have been a low-scoring game, but I was surprised. The Minnesota team just looked flat, and I was surprised. Minnesota, I think, is a competent team to come out so flat on a Thursday night game like that. I mean, last time we saw that was the Carolina Panthers, who I think are a much worse team, so I was shocked, but I guess not shocked that the dog continues on Thursday night, so just keep pounding that dog.
But we were given the gift of a Close Your Eyes special out of it. Yes. Minnesota, of course, underperforming by 21. We will be taking them this week.
Well, we'll get to that in the Week 9 picks. Moving on to Chicago, where Carolina was getting 7.5. Felt a little too high to me. Chicago barely won this game, 23-22. Carolina has lost a ton of close games. For as bad as Carolina's looked, they've also been in a lot of games and could have won them, but offense not looking great because they allowed the Bears' defense to score. I mean, that's it's weird. The Bears' offense, 27th in yardage, but somehow the Bears are still 6-1. Seems a little weird. It's not weird. That's been
It's a little deceiving to look at just yardage with a team like the Bears. They are getting a lot of short fields due to their defense. So I think they're a much better team yards per play. I mean, if you're getting the ball on the 35, you can only get so many yards. So
Yeah, I mean, I think they're
probably more league average to slightly above average on offense. It's just the raw yardage numbers maybe don't look great.
And the Panthers are an interesting team. They're 1-6, but they've, with the exception of the Giants, all the games they've lost have been less than one score. So I don't know. There's something going on in Carolina. I feel like the coach has got
to
go.
Might be a team to look to take the. I know I'm on the win total over this year. Pretty much can rip up that ticket at this point. But when a team loses a lot of close games like this, it's always nice to look at them the next year.
Good call, Kramer. All right, out in Cleveland, a sloppy, ugly game where the Cleveland Browns outlasted the San Diego subpar Chargers. 7-6, very ugly game. Cleveland came in as a home dog, getting 2.5 points, and this was just atrocious.
Yeah, I think we were both on Cleveland, right?
I might have been on San Diego.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know. This just felt like a bad game. I thought San Diego had a little pep in their tank, but I probably would have switched my pick had I seen the weather conditions coming in right before things hit. I didn't even factor that in.
I was on Cleveland. I was also on the under. Both hit. Yeah, Cleveland's scrappy. I think they're a team that you can look to take as a home dog. They play decent defense. They're not one of these bad offenses. They can move the ball a little bit. They got Josh Gordon's a bit of a home run threat. Richardson is showing that he's a legit NFL running back. And, man, this Chargers team, you thought they might bounce back after what happened to them in the second half of that Denver game, but they came out flat once again, and it's really starting to look like that division race is over.
Yeah, it's weird. It's tough to say who is going to compete with the Broncos right now.
I mean, it's only a one game lead they have, but it seems like it's over.
It feels like there are miles between these AFC West opponents. Okay, Ryan, let's head up to the NFC North where the Detroit Lions were at home and they welcomed in the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks, 1.5 point dogs. I felt pretty good about the Seahawks. I thought this would be a chance for them to establish themselves, get a road win here, but Detroit outlasted them 28-24.
Yeah, I don't think we watched more than a couple minutes of this game. I just thought, I'm just not a big fan of Seattle on the road getting less than a field goal. I was on Detroit here. And I think the real story is Calvin Johnson's knee injury seems to be bothering him or something, because he is not making he's not making an impact on these games.
No, he's not, Kramer. And it's not looking good. One of our Las Vegas hotel super contest picks was the Jacksonville Jaguars. We got it at 11, or no, sorry, we got it at 14. Some books had it as high as 16.5. Jacksonville covered easily. Well, at least it felt easily. 24-15, they lost in Green Bay. There was a glimmer of hope for a potential win outright, and Jags were a little feisty against this Packers team. Was this just a case of the Packers? I think this was just a case, honestly, of you can't lay that much in the NFL.
Yeah, we talked about it. 14 points in the NFL, tough to not take that. We also talked about how, or at least I said, I didn't think Maurice Jones-Drew really was a big loss, considering they had Rashard Jennings to come in.
Yeah,
they were able to do what you got to do against Green Bay, and that's run the ball and hit him in the mouth. They really came to play. This game was closer than the 9-point. Final, but yeah, I think it once again kind of showed that Green Bay is going to have troubles down the stretch against teams that can run the ball and teams that can hit the quarterback with a four-man rush.
Okay, Ryan, now there was a battle out in Tennessee, 13-13 going into overtime. Indianapolis Colts, led by Andrew Luck, take care of business on the road, winning outright 19-13. Andrew Luck, man, he just knows how to win games, knows how to close out teams.
Yeah, we were both all over this one.
This felt good at 3.5, especially.
Tennessee shouldn't have been laying 3.5 against anyone.
I was surprised. I really felt good about the over. Maybe that's why it was just too easy of an over, because Indy's defense on the road had been crappy, and Tennessee's defense had been crappy. Felt like a chance for a shootout. That didn't come through, but the Indy 3.5 was pretty good.
I was definitely shocked at the the over. Didn't even come close, but I was not shocked that Indy was Indy ended up covering and winning the game.
Out in merry old England, the New England Patriots blew out St. Louis Rams 45-7. Rob Gronkowski going off with his little dance.
Changing of the guards or whatever the shit is over at Buckingham Palace.
They asked him about it, and he goes, "I'm one of those nutcracker dudes that guards the house."
Yeah. I mean, he kind of got it right.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's just a really funny description. It was one of the better touchdown celebrations. That seemingly was the big highlight from this game. St. Louis Rams jumped out to a 7-0 lead, getting 7 points. I thought they would. I thought this would be. I pictured a low scoring, kind of sloppy game. Traditionally, the field's pretty crappy out there in England. Wasn't the case. Patriots rolled big time.
Yeah, I was on New England here. I just thought, you know, it is a neutral field. I thought this line should have been a little higher. I guess it wouldn't have mattered because New England got out and they stayed up. And God, St. Louis is just, they're a strange team because they play so hard at home and they just look like crap when they're away from home.
Kind of a Seattle. All right, Miami Dolphins went into New York City, took a bite out of the Big Apple, slapping the Jets in the face, 30-9. Let's see. What's his face got knocked out of the game for the Dolphins?
Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill.
Or I'm assuming his name is Tannehill.
Yeah.
Almost every announcer calls him Tannehill.
Really?
That can't be the proper pronunciation of his name. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I was way off on this. I thought the Jets would look like they were kind of back. And I think it's just a case of, I still refuse to believe this Miami team is good. I think I've been underrating them all year. I'm probably going to have to look.
Matt Moore came in and took care of business as well.
I mean, that's a big thing right there. They got a legit backup, and they can run the ball. They play defense, and somehow Philbin has them believing. This is definitely best case scenario for them. The players have bought in.
Three in a row.
Yeah, it was a. I mean, the Jets were going into a bye week. That was a pretty strong trend. But I'm really surprised that the Jets got housed like this.
Speaking of strong trends that came to an end, Andy Reid had his 13-0 after a bye week streak ended as the flat Philadelphia Eagles got worked at home 30-17 by the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of talk, a lot of QB controversy, a lot of coaching controversy. Andy Reid stepped out in front of it today, announcing that Michael Vick will be his starter Monday night in New Orleans. Not looking good for this Philadelphia Eagles team, season, or franchise.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week. Seemed odd they fired the defensive coordinator as the defense, although maybe they weren't making some late-game adjustments, it seemed like they were playing hard at least. They came out, and I know they fell behind 2 touchdowns quick, but it seemed to me that they were just playing soft.
Played really flat. I can't remember the last time where I felt like an Eagles team, or Andy Reid had lost the Eagles so badly. Seems like a huge disconnect between players and coach right now, and no one is on the same page in this organization.
And they're in a. I know they have a history of starting off slow and getting hot and kind of making a run, but you know now sitting what 3 games back and the Giants, they're really getting close to a situation where their season could be over in 3-4 weeks.
Well, here's the thing. I think you're starting already to look at must win games. I mean, next week Monday in New Orleans, if you go 3-5, there's no way you come back from that. If they go into New Orleans against that weak defense, maybe jumpstart the season there. You make it through 4-4. Maybe there's a glimmer of hope, but not looking great right now. And I think a loss basically seals the fate of Andy Reid and Michael Vick.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose and the Giants win, you're talking about 3-5 and 7-2.
Also, I guess on the flip side, if they beat this, pretty crappy New Orleans team, and the Giants lose at home to a Pittsburgh Steelers team, which isn't out of the question, then the Eagles are a game and a half back.
Yeah, they're right back in it.
They're a game and a half back with a chance to play the Giants once again. So still some hope left, but not looking great for the Eagles. All right, speaking of the Pittsburgh Steelers, they took care of business at home 27-12 against the Washington Redskins. I thought Redskins might be able to keep it close. I've been down on the Steelers, but seems like they've turned things around, and it turned out to be a pretty big square play.
Yeah, I was mad at myself. I had Pittsburgh all week, talked about it on this show, and then late in the week, I just switched. I was like, this Washington team can move the ball. I think Pittsburgh's defense has been a little down this year, but I was wrong. They just shut down RG3. I don't know. I think
sloppy field conditions as well.
Yeah, I
just don't think Washington's defense is good enough to, you know, keep them in games on the road.
Yeah, I'm still not really a believer in this Pittsburgh team, and I don't know. This might have shown Washington. The last two games maybe showed where Washington's shortcomings are, and they can't really stop the run or play defense, period.
Yeah, I mean, in their defense, that front seven's just been annihilated due to injuries.
Part of the game, Sean. Next man up.
I'm not making excuses. Oh, and there are no excuses for why we are forced to watch this AFC West. The Oakland Raiders went into Kansas City, took care of business 26-16. Oakland and Kansas City just continue to be involved in some of the ugliest games I've seen around. Oakland, as a one-point dog here, took care of business. Kansas City, wow, have not led the entire season.
Yeah,
They've led for
zero minutes, and for some reason you didn't tell me that I'm an idiot for backing Brady Quinn again. Also, Sean, saw an interesting stat. They were actually talking about the Eagles. Eagles, 61% or something like that of the Eagles' points have come off their turnovers. Or 61% of the points they've given up have come off their turnovers. Number one on that list was Kansas City. 87 points. 87% of the points they've given up this year have come off turnovers. That's astonishing. Yeah. I mean, you would have to think that is set to regress in the second half of the season, but I don't know. They just keep making the same mistakes.
They asked Romeo Crennel why Jamaal Charles only got 5 carries, and he said he didn't know. Not a great sign for the franchise. I mean, the team is cheering when you're quarterback is carted off with a concussion. Maybe feed the running back, who's possibly one of the better backs in the league.
Well-renowned handicapper Steve Fezzik is, I think all he does on Sundays is tweet out how Romeo Crennel should be fired on the spot, how he's an awful, I mean, he really is just an awful coach that somehow the players like.
Yeah, he's probably really easy on him and doesn't ask for a lot, then players are fine with that.
He's Wade Phillips, Black Wade Phillips.
More AFC West action. The Denver Broncos beat up New Orleans at home Sunday night, 34-14. Covered that 6 easily, and the under came through. I think I was talking about the under there a little bit. Felt like it was just crept up a little too high, Ryan.
Much like taking 14-point dogs in the NFL, you get a total up at around 55. It's pretty rare. It's hard to really not take the under. It's hard to take the over there. So that's one of those situations. You either pass or you take the under.
And the trend of team totals against New Orleans, I think, hit again. I'm guessing, I don't have it in front of me.
It was
Denver's
line was 30.5.
So that's a strong trend.
They're the first team in NFL history to give up 400 yards in their first 7 games. They're just bad. I don't know. They're a bad team. Denver's starting to look legit. Man, I don't know. Denver might just be the best team in the AFC. Denver and Houston, I think, are the best two teams. New England's a slight.
Peyton Manning's just
behind.
Crafty. It's just so funny to see him throw, like, he just throws passes he knows he can complete. But then every once in a while, he'll try and test his arm, and you can just see his strength is not there. I feel like that's got to hamper you in the playoffs when the weather really starts to take a factor. I feel like I don't see the Broncos being able to win an AFC championship right now.
We saw it. They struggled against the bad teams or the good teams early. They have a soft schedule, so they're going to be in the playoffs. They're probably going to win 10, 11 games. But, you know, let's see how they do when they have to face Houston again or New England again or even Baltimore or Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I don't know. I like this team. I just put a very hefty wager on them to win the before the game, I put a hefty wager on them to win the division. I laid the 250, minus 250. And now I got them at, I saw the line was at minus 450. I still like, I feel like there's still value in that. They have to, I mean, in my book, they have to be, I don't know, I'd say 90 to 95% chance of winning that division.
I don't know. I wouldn't go quite that high. Oakland is, as much as Oakland is atrocious, you look at the, just the win total, it's not like it's that crazy. They're not that far behind.
Yeah.
As much as you want to say it's totally locked in the bag, and I agree with you, it definitely looks like that. I don't know, man. I'd be scared of, you know, Peyton Manning getting injured. I don't
know. Well, that's the big thing, the injury. But let me, I'm going to read their schedule for you. At Cincinnati, at Carolina, San Diego, at Kansas City, Tampa Bay, at Oakland, at Baltimore, Cleveland, Kansas City. Not too many scary games in there. At Baltimore is clearly the scariest game, but other than that, those are, they might be favored in every game but the Baltimore game. So,
yeah, it's gonna be interesting. All right, Ryan. Oh, and of course, your New York Football Giants went into Dallas, got up 23-0. You were just all in, Ryan, all in on that Giants team. But Dallas came back. They were up 24-23, and then Giants kicked a couple field goals. Squeaked out a 29-24 victory. There was a last-second Hail Mary play in which Dez Bryant just couldn't keep his fingers in. Very, very close play.
Oh, man, am I glad I didn't bet on this game. I stayed away from laying the points. Even though Eli's automatic in Jerry World, I think he's now 4-0 in that new stadium. Yeah, I don't know. I think the one thing I took out of this game, you know, it's a divisional game. They're going to be played tight. Obviously, Tony Romo dug a deep hole early, but I think Dallas has a pretty good defense. You know, the Giants have a good offense, and they were able to limit them to field goals a bunch of times, even with bad field position. So, you know, they outgained the Giants by, I think, 150, 200 yards, something like that. So,
yeah, but Giants that's like the Eagles. You know, when Vic was turning the ball over, it's like, hey, if Vic doesn't turn the ball over, then they win the games. Well, yeah, Tony Romo is throwing a shit ton of interceptions.
The crazy thing is how
you can blame him on Dez Bryant or not, but
how bad did he look early? And then you know what's killing me is how they're blaming Dez Bryant for that little post pattern interception by Stevie Brown. They're trying to say that Dez Bryant should have cut it to an in route. Tony Romo still threw it to him once he made it a post. So I don't know.
Well, I think it started on that on the week previous when he just clearly doesn't know the play. I mean, he's been in the system for what, second year, and he's just clearly doesn't know the hot routes or hot reads or whatever.
Yeah, it's just weird how Tony Romo then goes looking like a Pro Bowl quarterback. I don't know. I'm glad the Giants are done having to play the Cowboys this year.
Well, not confident the Cowboys getting in the playoffs, right? All right, San Francisco 49ers in Arizona, home dog Arizona, seemingly decent defense, getting 7 points, not anywhere close. San Francisco came in and whacked them 24-3, got out to a lead early, and once this 49ers team gets up on you, you can't get back in the game. It's tough, and I had just never – I mean, Patrick Peterson – for all the accolades this guy's gotten, or talk about how he's a shutdown corner, that was an atrocious performance. I mean, I can't imagine just being insanely out of position to make tackles. I've never seen.
Well, it's
been a while since I saw something like that.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked in this game that the Arizona defense didn't really show up. But here's what I'll say about Patrick Peterson. People talk about him as a lockdown corner, but I think they touched on it in the game, but lockdown corners don't get thrown to that much. Patrick Peterson is still getting thrown at. That shows that teams aren't scared of him. And, you know, if you're going to get thrown at, you got to make the tackle. And, man, that Arizona defense played soft. The coach played soft, not going for it on fourth, not kicking field goal.
They were in range for a 53-yard field goal and punted. Now, if you're a guy who's holding a 7.5 Arizona ticket, you're screaming.
I don't know. It always blows my mind, these teams that aren't that good and they refuse to you know, try to win the game. They just sit there and they don't want to get blown out. It's really, really pathetic.
It is, Ryan. It's very pathetic. All right. You want to touch on the leaders in the ESPN pick?
No. So, another, you know, Sean, we have a new leader.
Oh, really? Wow.
It's
wow.
a tie, actually. We Ratchford still sitting there, tied for first. He had a stinker. Last 2 weeks, he's got 5-4. Sitting at 61. E. White, making a move, has had 8-8 in his last 2 weeks. He's now tied for the lead with 61.
Oh.
Tied for third, we got Sully, RG3 for the money, and Pickmaster, who's also had a strong last couple weeks.
Moving up.
And tied for fifth, Raider Nation and myself, sitting at 57. I'm still in it. Only four back in the lead. I'm in the mix. Our boy Vicious, he had a solid week of seven. He's sitting two back of me at 55. And
where am I clocking in it?
Sean, not a bad week last week, but you're back at 53, eight back of the lead.
I'm still in it.
Still in it.
Like the Eagles. I'm back, but I'm still in it. Still
it's,
alive.
It's still anyone's
home.
Game. We got 8 weeks left. Or what are we? 9 weeks left, actually,
yep.
Right? 9 weeks left. So, you know, my rule of thumb is if you want to be within one pick per week. So if you're within 9 points of a leader in a pick'em right now, I think you're still in striking distance, but you got to start making that move.
Yep. All right, let's do it.
All right, Sean. Thursday night. God, the NFL Network just knows how to schedule stinkers for their Thursday night games.
I know. It's been a...
San Diego Chargers, which last I looked, there's still a crap load of tickets available. I don't know. Can they black the game out on NFL Network? Is that possible?
I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Chargers hosting the Chiefs. Chiefs getting 7.5. Oh, God, what a dilemma we are in here. I will do the smart thing. I'm not going to think about this game. I'm not going to try to break it down. I'm not going to think about the fact that... Is Brady Quinn playing this week with this concussion, or is he out?
No, I'm pretty sure he's out.
All right. That allows me to back the Brady Quinnless Chiefs, getting the 7.5. We talked about it. I don't think the home dog has lost, or has
not
covered. Sorry, I don't think the dogs have not covered yet. This Charger team has not looked great. I believe the Chiefs will play some defense. I believe the Chiefs will be able to run the ball. I don't like it. I don't feel good about it. I'm going to take the Chiefs here plus 7.5.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with it. I'm kicking myself for getting off the Thursday dog trend last week.
Yep.
Hopefully there's still room on that bandwagon, so... Give me the Chiefs getting 8 points in San Diego. Don't feel great about it, but you rarely do when you're taking an 8-point dog.
Yeah, seriously. All right, next up, the Cincinnati Bengals hosting the Denver Broncos. Bengals are getting 3.5 at home. My initial look, anytime there's a 3 to 4 point home dog, is on the dog. But I got to be honest, I love the Broncos here. I think they're just... They're better in every facet of the game. I think the defense will be able to slow down the run of the Bengals. And I like Peyton. I think Peyton is kind of coming into his own. The Bengals really don't play good defense with the exception of their pass rush. So that's the one area that would concern me. I trust Peyton enough to be able to decipher that pass rush and get the ball out quickly. I honestly think, even though the Broncos are a public team, I honestly think we're still a week or two away from the numbers catching up with how good this Broncos team is. I honestly bumped them up. They're a top five team for me right now. Gambling-wise, I put them, they're the number one team in the AFC for me. Slightly ahead of the Texans. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like a smart thing, but I just think here's how I see it. The Broncos aren't losing this game. I like them to cover. I think this to me feels like, you know, somewhere in the 27 to 17 type spread.
Yeah, I feel like, even worst case, Denver wins 24-20. I think they've kind of gotten their sea legs underneath them, and I think they're good at putting away weak competition. So, give me the Broncos laying 3.5 here.
And mind you, like I am holding a ticket for the Broncos under 8.5 wins, which I've just completely given up. I was completely wrong about this team. Peyton Manning's back. All right, next up, Arizona Cardinals. God, they look bad. Travel on the short week up to Green Bay. Green Bay is laying 11. Sean, do you count this as a West Coast team going east?
No, I don't.
Not enough time zones?
Yeah, I think Green Bay Central Time.
Green Bay Central Time. Arizona doesn't observe daylight savings. A whole bunch of weird shit going on here with the time zones. I don't know. I mean, what's your take? I'd say like this might be a prime spot to grab the Cardinals, as they couldn't have looked worse on Monday night. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the same way we took the Jags getting 14, I feel like you got to take the Cardinals getting 11 here. As much as I want to just get off on this Cardinals team as much as I can, Ryan, you know how gambling works. If a team gets worked on a primetime game and is getting points the next week, I feel like that's always a strong trend to play.
Here's my concern. What do you got to do to beat Green Bay? You got to get a good rush with four. Cardinals don't do that very well. And you got to be able to run the ball. Cardinals, without their top two running backs, their starting running back, LaRon Stevens Howling, showed in that game against the Niners he has no idea how to block. He's going to be forced to block Clay Matthews a little bit. Also saw that over their last four games, the Arizona Cardinals have given up more sacks than any other team has the entire season. For that reason, I am going to take the square play and lay the points with Green Bay. I'll take this all the way up to two touchdowns. 14 maybe I take Arizona, but I just think Arizona doesn't, unlike Jacksonville, who can run the ball and play a little defense, like base defense. I think Arizona is starting to show that they're soft, and Green Bay is starting to put up style points, I think, or they're gonna this week.
I don't know. It's a square play. For me, it's just 11's too much.
Two square plays in a row for me. All right, next up, Miami Dolphins, who I still do not believe in, head to Indianapolis, where they face Andrew Luck, future Hall of Famer Andrew Luck, and the Colts. Colts getting 2.5 at home. This is a no-brainer for me.
I mean, I like this Dolphins team. I know you're not as high on them, but I also like Indy as a home dog. I feel like that's a strong trend. They play really well in that dome. And it just feels like this is going to be a close game. But at the end of the game, last 2 minutes, I want to have the ticket with Andrew Luck's name on it. So give me the Colts getting 2.5.
Yeah, one concern for me is that Indy is not great against the run. Miami's been a really good run team, but I'm taking the points here at home. I like Indy. I like Indy as a home team anytime they're getting points this year. All right.
Couldn't agree more.
Next up, the seemingly hapless Ravens head to Cleveland, where they're laying 3.5 points. Cleveland, a 3.5-point home dog. As always, you get that 3.5-point home dog. You immediately look to that side. You see, how can I not take this side? Cleveland played them close in Baltimore, if you remember, earlier in the season. I got to be honest. I think I like Baltimore to win, but I don't think I can lay the points on the road. I'm going to roll with Cleveland here. I just think Cleveland keeps it close, and maybe they have a shot to win. Although I have a large bet on the Ravens to win over 10 games and the division, so I need them to win, but I can't back them in this spot.
I hear that, Ryan. I really do, and I know it's kind of a not a great play historically to grab the Ravens here -3.5, but I don't know. I'm just looking to mix it up here from a picks perspective. And also, I think we're okay, yeah. Baltimore went in there, went down to Houston, got worked by Houston, but then they had a bye week. So you have 2 weeks to prepare against this Cleveland team. Cleveland, coming off a win against San Diego. I don't see Cleveland winning two games in a row. I just don't see them pulling it off. I understand the angle. I see the 3.5. I see it all. I think you give Joe Flacco and those veterans on that team an extra week of rest, an extra week to prepare. I think Harbaugh is a much better coach than the guy in Cleveland. What is it? It's not Shermer. It's Shermer, right? Yeah. I think definitely better than Pat Shermer. And, yeah, it feels good. Yeah. Give me Baltimore laying 3.5 here.
All right. Next up, Texans host the Buffalo Bills. Bills getting 10.5. This is tough because I could totally see the Houston Texans just running them out of the building. Bills are coming off a bye week, correct?
Yes.
All right. Oh, man. I got to be honest. I'm going to take the Bills here. Ryan Fitzpatrick is awesome at backdooring games. I think they can do just enough to keep it close. Unlike Arizona, who has shown they can't do anything on offense, I think Buffalo moves the ball here. I think Buffalo plays staunch defense, or they slow them down enough. I'm going to take Buffalo with the points.
Yeah, I'm on board for those reasons and many more. I think just historically, NFL, double-digit dogs, I'm going to take them for the most part. You know, in a lot of situations, especially coming off a bye, especially with a somewhat competent team. 10.5 feels a little bit high. So, yeah, give me the Bills here going down to Houston.
All right, next up, it's a battle of Cam Newton from this year and Cam Newton from last year. Carolina heads to Washington, where Washington is laying 3. I grabbed this early in the week when it was Carolina +4. I got to be honest, I think this is a good spot for Carolina. I think they kind of figured a little out last week. You know, if not for that pick 6, they probably win the game. And I think Washington's probably questioning their abilities a little bit. I know they're coming home. I know it's a tough place to play. But I'm going to take the dog here. I say Cam Newton rights the ship. I say this is a tight game late. I could see either team winning, so I'm going to take the Panthers +3.
Yeah, give me the Panthers. I feel like every time I've bet the Skins to win this year, it hasn't come up. I'm off on the Skins boat. I think they're much like Carolina, they're kind of next year's team. But Carolina, like you said, shown enough that gives me hope to believe that they can do something here with 3 points. Keep it close.
Plus, it's going to be awesome the first time D'Angelo Hall and Steve Smith line up across from each other. There's definitely
going to
be...
Well, D'Angelo Hall might be suspended for comments he made to a referee.
Jim Rome had an awesome take on that. He's like, you know, the NFL is saying you can't take your helmet off on the field. And Jim Rome's like, yeah, you can if you want to get in the grill of an official. Can't get in the official's grill with your face mask. So, yeah, that would be great, though, to see them fight. All right, next up, Detroit Lions. Now, here's a team that I feel people are overrating off of one win. Detroit travels to Jacksonville, who played Green Bay tough. Jacksonville's getting 3.5 at home. I know I've been on Jacksonville a little too much this year, I feel like, but this is a spot. Again, we talked about it, 3.5-point home dog. Against a Lions team that just has been less than stellar all year, I think this is a no-brainer. Grab the points with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, Lions have felt like they got a little ahead of themselves.
I mean, they did not play well against Seattle. They eked out the game at the end.
They didn't play well against the Eagles.
Yeah, they really haven't played well even in their wins. If you remember week 1, we were on Detroit -7. They almost lost to St. Louis. I don't think you can back this team going on the road laying 3.5 points. All right, Sean. A lot of 3.5-point home dogs this week. Tennessee Titans and my man Chris Johnson host the Chicago Bears. Chicago's legit. They play defense. They can move the ball on offense. Here's another one. 3.5 comes out. I initially say, oh, boy, got to grab the Titans, but kind of looked at it some more, and I just don't see how Tennessee is going to be able to move the ball against this Bears team. I got a handful of square plays this week, I feel like, but I'm going to roll with another one in Chicago. I just think I don't like the matchup here. I think this line could very well be 5 or 6. I'm going to take Chicago laying the 3.5. I think their defense has been too dominant to ignore.
I'm going to have to go with Tennessee here.
Oh.
I like Tennessee as a home dog. I think Matt Hasselbeck has played well in the past 3 games. Past 3 games, he's 2-1, the only loss coming in overtime. Past 3 games, he's also averaged a QB rating of 93. Chris Johnson running hard. there's a little bit of muster in this Tennessee season, and I feel like Chicago getting away with too much defensive scoring. I feel like eventually, I mean, they almost lost that game to Carolina outright. I feel like things are not right on the Chicago offense. But like you said, their defense is so dominant, it's covering up a lot of warts. I feel like they take a slight step back here on the road, 6-1. This feels like a 6-2 team going to the midway point. I look for them to I think they might even lose outright. So it might be all my right. upset special.
Oh. All right, next up, Minnesota Vikings coming off their underperforming of the spread by 21 points, head to Seattle, where they are getting 4.5 points. I grabbed this early in the week at 5. It's your close-your-eyes special of the week. Minnesota, all day here.
Yeah,
What's the trend this season so far? 5 or 6-0?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, Seattle's great at home, don't get me wrong, and I love playing Seattle as a home dog all day, every day, and twice on Sundays, but Seattle as a home favorite at 5 points, not kosher for me.
Yeah, more than a field goal, tough to take this Seahawks team.
And this, you know, unlike some Minnesota teams in the past, I think this Minnesota team can travel and can play outdoors.
Plus, I think they're going to be fired up. They just got humbled. I really like this this matchup here. All right, next up, the Raiders host the Tampa Bay Bucks, where the Raiders are 1.5-point favorites. I got to be careful not to overreact at the Tampa Bay Bucks, but I think they... They're implementing the Giants' offense. It's a very complex offense. I think Josh Freeman's starting to figure it out. They looked very solid last week. Doug Martin is a solid player. Oakland has a horrible secondary. Tampa can stop the run. Oakland needs to run the ball to be efficient on offense. I like the Bucs here to win this game. I like them to win it in a game that I don't think will be that close. I think the Bucs jump out to an early lead and win this game 27-14.
I'm going to have to say Oakland wins.
Whoa!
I don't know what it is about this Oakland team. Don't want to go against them. I don't like Tampa Bay going to the east to the west coast. I feel like that's not a good move for this Oakland team. I mean, this Tampa team. And, yeah, I kind of like Oakland at home this year. They've been laying small spreads or been a dog, and I kind of like them at home against the spread right now.
All right, next up. Got the New York Giants hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Line settled in right there at 3. I got to be honest, when this line opened at 3.5, I thought that was the correct line, even with the Giants' poor home field advantage. I think the Steelers are kind of still fraudulent. They don't feel like a... I think, are they a 5-win team? They don't feel like a 5-win team. I don't know. I don't see the Steelers being able to run the ball that well with Dwyer. They don't really have that home run threat. I'm a little worried about the Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown versus the Giants secondary, but the Giants. I think the Giants take it to the Steelers here. No
Pittsburgh
surprise.
4-3.
They don't even feel like a 4-win team to me. I feel like they just haven't showed up on the road. They might have one win this year on the road. I know they lost to Tennessee and Denver. I'm going to take the Giants here. I like the Giants to cover this and win the game.
At 3, I feel like the line should be 3 here. Pittsburgh, I really like it at 3.5. Just feels like you said, Giants not great at home. I don't know how they...
They are 3-1 at home this year.
I mean, I feel like they're not great at home against the spread. Feel like Pittsburgh's going to come in. Their quality. I don't know. I think they're. I was hating on Pittsburgh all year, but I feel like I got to eat some crow. And they've definitely shown that they're kind of they're getting hot at the right time here, middle of the season, getting ready for a run here. Giants recovering from Hurricane Sandy. I think that's got to throw out your practice schedule. I just feel like it's not a great formula. This feels like a game that the Giants easily could overlook at home or just not get up for. I feel like that was a big, tough, emotional win on the road. A little bit of a letdown here. Giants slide.
I would have been more scared if they blew the Cowboys out, to be honest with you. The fact that they had to play that game to the final whistle, I think they're going to be ready. And they're also going to be playing for the people who lost their lives in Hurricane Sandy. Yeah, I don't know. And the one other thing is Ben Roethlisberger likes to extend plays. He's going to get hit by the Giants. Their athletic front is going to be able to get him and bring him down. Again, Giants win this game. Next up, the Hot Atlanta Falcons host the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Matty Ice, Julio Jones, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez face the very, I don't know if I'd say underrated, but very good Cowboys defense. I don't have a real reason for liking this, but it feels like a good spot for the Cowboys. Public perception, Falcons are riding high. Cowboys are dog shit.
See, Ryan, I like the Falcons here, and I think if you're talking public perception, if public perception was that strong, this would have been a six-point line. I mean, it's a, you know, Atlanta's at home, where arguably their home point, you know, their home spread might even be 3.5. They've been that dominant at home here under Matt Ryan's tenure, so people are handicapping this as maybe a half point to a point better than this Dallas team. I mean, they're 7-0, 5-2 against the spread, and still people are talking like they can't get the job done.
Well, Sean, this line might be 6 if Vegas didn't know something. Line opened at 4.5, 5 in some places. Almost 80% of the money of the bets coming in on Atlanta, yet the line has moved down to 4. Vegas is clearly stating they have an opinion on this game, and I'm going to go with their opinion. I like Dallas plus the 4.
I like Atlanta minus 4 here. This Cowboys team feels flat, man. I don't see how anytime the coach is going to get fired, the team is having turnover problems. Basically, I'm describing the Eagles and the Cowboys, and I don't know. I mean, I think maybe we'll get to the Eagles next here, but this Falcons team is really good at home, and the Falcons are 5-2 against the spread. There's nothing that I'm seeing right now that shows that this Falcons team is going to let up. They're great at creating turnovers. Even that Oakland game where Oakland basically came in and had the best game against Atlanta so far, and Atlanta still beat them and almost covered that big spread.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really. I'll take Dallas with the points, but I might even look into teasing Atlanta in this game. I'm kind of with you. Atlanta wins games at home, but at the same time, I don't know why I like Dallas in this game. All right, next up, your Philadelphia Eagles head down to New Orleans, where they are getting 3 points. This line actually opened at 3.5, which seems crazy. This is a crazy spread. New Orleans should not be laying 3 against Philly or anyone. Philly's going to dominate this game. I don't know. People are continuing. I guess these teams have a similar storyline. Everyone keeps expecting them to blow up. I like the Eagles here. I think the Eagles go down and they whoop up on the Saints, and they give, you know, the Saints can do one thing well. It's give up a lot of yards. You know, the Eagles can gain a lot of yards, assuming they don't turn the ball over. I like the Eagles to win this game fairly easily.
I like the Saints here.
Oh.
I like them to cover the spread.
Reverse jinx.
No, I don't know. I'm not gonna bet on a team who clearly doesn't have enough respect for their coach or their fans to play with any heart or conviction. It's a gutless, soulless Philadelphia Eagles team that doesn't deserve to win. I'm gonna have to go with the New Orleans Saints here.
All right, Green.
Although we are talking, we are gonna go watch this game at a new topless.
Oh, that's right.
It's a topless club / sports bar that opened up in downtown Los Angeles.
It's a sports bar with a little adult entertainment. Please.
Exactly. They got some deals on wings. We'll see how the experience goes. Maybe we can work out some sort of on-air plug for them. I don't want to reveal the name yet. It's very close to the Staples Center. I guess you can take a shuttle. So looking forward to that experience Monday night. Hopefully, I hope the Eagles win, but I don't see it happening. Ryan, let's get to the everyone's favorite part of the podcast, the three-team tease. The upset special and the lead pipe lock.
All right. Well, we're gonna keep the Vikings off the board here. Close your eyes. Specials are ineligible.
You can still tease that though.
Yeah, you can throw it in a teaser, but that can't be your lock or your underdog money line special. For my lock of the week, I hate doing this, but Jacksonville. I'm gonna take Jacksonville plus the 3.5.
That's a lock of the week.
Jacksonville, lock of the week. Give me that plus 3.5. Lock it up, and don't be afraid to sprinkle a little on the money line. What do you think, Sean? Who are you taking?
Oh, geez. I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Oh.
I know it's square public play. I'm going to go down swinging. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to go doing that against the Dallas Cowboys right now. The Ivy Hair Ginger, or the Ivy League Ginger from Dallas, just not a good week all around for NFC East Gingers between Andy Reid and Jason Garrett. So, give me Atlanta as the lock.
All right.
Sunday night, too. Are you kidding me? Hot Atlanta?
My money line.
Just the strip club to Dez Bryant ratio. Like, we did not factor that in.
Oh. A lot of brothers on the down low down in Atlanta, too.
Yeah, I mean, this is just not an ideal situation for a flamboyant Cowboys receiver. Okay, Ryan, lay out your three-team tees.
All right. Well, let me give you my underdog, my money line underdog pick.
All right.
I'm going to go against your lock of the week.
Wow.
No, I'm not. That's stupid. All right. I'd like to take the Colts here, but that's not very fun. So I'm going to take your Philadelphia Eagles plus 145 on the money line. This feels like a game they win walking away. Give me that plus 145.
All right, Ryan. I'll do the same. Well, actually, I'll involve your team, but I'll go against it. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh!
Late game action, taking care of the Giants in the Meadowlands.
All right. Now,
should
we do some tease action?
Three-team tease. Well, of course, give me the Minnesota Vikings. Bump that up to plus 11. Feels pretty good there.
10.5 if we're talking official lines, Sean.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Either way.
10.5. Give me, let's see here. I'll take Indy going up to 8.5. Right? It's at 2.5, right?
Yep.
8.5, and, I kind of want to take Arizona getting 17. Instead I'll go Tennessee 9.5. Although, if you have the option to buy that extra half, get it up to 10.
All right, Sean, I'm going to suggest everyone do a 6.5 point tease this week.
Okay.
First one up, let's tease Denver over to plus 3 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Next up, I'm with you on this one. Let's tease Minnesota up to 10, well, I guess 11 in my scenario. And for the last pick, tease the Carolina Panthers up to 9.5 points.
Feels good.
I like all of that right there. I might even throw that in right now.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right, man. Feels good. Hopefully next week the Eagles ship has been righted. Regained a little momentum for the NFL season. Get me reinvested. I'm almost getting into basketball, Ryan, just out of spite to try and inspire the Philadelphia Eagles. I was watching a clip of the Rudy play, trying to get inspired, trying to care once again about the greatest game of all time. All right, everyone, thanks for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us on iTunes. That really helps us climb the charts. And, of course, big-time movement on Stitcher. Let's crack the top 1,000. We're right there. Appreciate you guys. If you can on Stitcher, I think you can fave it or share it. That helps us climb the rankings. Follow us on Twitter, @GamblingPodcast. We're always down to go back and forth about picks, line movement, little chatter here and there. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean Stacking the Muddy Green, and he is Ryan.
Real quick, little college football.
Oh.
Alabama traveling to LSU this weekend. Tons of public money. LSU is currently getting 10 points at home. That's crazy. Grab the points. Sprinkle a little on the money line. Don't be surprised to see LSU knock off Alabama this weekend. I'll be all over that plus 10.
Feels great. All right, good call. Let it ride.